Hi, this is Team Tech Talk, episode 23, and it is February 11th, and I am here, this is Dale Taylor, here with Jeff DeLowey and Corey, and...
Hold.
Well, okay, fine. I could have said his last name, but I don't know, we never say Corey's last name, but that's okay.
He's like Cher.
Okay. You want me to redo it now? I'll go through.
No, keep it in, keep going.
All right, whatever. Okay, well, the first story we have here today is a lot of you have seen the Intel Core Duo, but
yeah,
apparently,
good morning.
Yeah, Jeff does on his new iMac, which he's very fortunate to have.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's
which
supposedly 64-bit, and Intel has confirmed it that actually the hardware supports 64-bit. It's just they don't have it running 64-bit. It's kind of interesting. It implements the EM64T processing the specification. And so the question is, why aren't they just making it 64-bit if it can do it?
It's a good question. I want to know.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to have 64-bit running, you know, crunch the numbers a little nicer.
Corey, why aren't they doing this?
Yeah, come on, Corey.
I don't know.
Tell me.
Apple's just weird like that.
It's not Apple, it's Intel.
Well, I don't know.
All right. So,
I don't know. I'm not... I mean, I don't know.
All right,
I don't even have... Go ahead.
All right, well, speaking of new computers, Corey, talk about your new... you got your parts for your computer?
I got my parts a couple weeks ago, and ever since then, I've been troubleshooting it forever. Let's see. What the problem was is that I was using parts lying around the house, and I had a stick. The motherboard requires PC3200 RAM, and I had a stick of PC3200U, but nobody or their mother knew what the U meant, so I researched forever to find out that it meant that it was unbuffered, and that some motherboards are picky about... that they don't like the unbuffered RAM. So this morning I went to a local computer store and picked up a stick of just cheap 256 PC3200 just to see if it would work, because that's the least I needed for the graphics card, and lo and behold, it works. So I installed Windows on it with the Service Pack 1. That was a CD I had. And interesting story about that. It was a Dell CD I had lying around that came with one of my laptops or something. And the... product key didn't work. So I called Microsoft and got transferred to India with some woman that couldn't understand what she was saying. After having to repeat the key like over and over again, she reset the key, and so it worked. Well, I upgraded to Service Pack 2, and the graphics card didn't like that. The images looked crappy. Every once in a while, it wouldn't boot. So I was really fed up with it. So now I'm just installed the old Windows... disk, and hopefully I won't have to activate it again, because I don't feel like spending 30 minutes on the phone again with some Indian girl. So, that's basically what's been going on.
Out of interest, what video card are you using?
The ATI Radeon X100, or 800 XL, I think. Something like that, XT or something.
When you were installing video drivers, we're using the it's for ATI. I know they have the one with the control panel or whatever that uses .NET.
They have some Hydro something, which is their drivers, and then they have this other Catalyst software.
That's it.
Well, the CD they gave me had both on it, and that really didn't flow well either, having both of those setups and going crazy. And so I disabled one of them, and then. After installing Surface Pack 2, it still went haywire. So,
but you didn't, because I know when I had my own PC that had an ATI card, that there was the Catalyst, there was one with that used .NET, the new frameworks, and there's one that just like that, and they would have it was its own standalone control panel.
I noticed that when I was going to look,
and I could tell it was really slow. The one with .NET was extremely slow, and it was a pain. Like all of the, like the went menus were really slow, and stuff. But when I went to use the standard one, the old way of doing it, and using go through the control panel and that stuff, display preferences, it worked perfect.
Well, when I looked to see if I could install, like, maybe there was an updated version of the Catalyst software and stuff that would work with Service Pack 2, I noticed it was something you had to download, like, three different files. One was a .NET framework, like you were saying, and the other was the control panel and some other weird file. So, I don't know. I didn't really look into that.
I don't think you want, it might be, I don't think it's a really safe idea to be on the internet with a Service Pack 1 computer.
Well, I don't know. If you update all the stuff and you're careful, I mean, I don't know. I'll look into it, see if, while I'm running Service Pack 1, if I find the drivers and update it, and if that works, then I might upgrade to Service Pack 2 and see if that fixes it.
Well,
but
I think the
driver, I'm still gonna mess around with it.
The drivers have to work. They're going to work pretty much. I think ATI is going to support Service Pack 2.
Well, yeah, I know. So I need to update, but I couldn't do that when I couldn't see what I was doing when I had it up to Service Pack 2, and the images were crappy, and sometimes the monitor wouldn't work, and I couldn't quite see what I was doing. So I definitely had to downgrade back to Service Pack 1, otherwise I wouldn't have been able to use it, period.
All right.
But I don't know. But I also, since I'm using an AMD 64 4000 plus processor, 64-bit processor, nice. I just went to the Microsoft site when I was bored while I was installing Windows, which took a whopping 15 minutes. It was actually really fast. I was quite happy.
How do you go on the internet while installing Windows at the same time? Pretty impressive.
I have my laptop.
Okay.
I have multiple computers. So what I did was I was looking at Microsoft.com and just looking around at some of the features of 64-bit. You know, the Pro 64 edition of Windows. And so they give away free CDs. Like, I got a free Service Pack 2 CD. You know, you just request it, and then a week later they send it to you. Well, I just requested the CD for the 64-bit edition of Professional Windows, so I'm going to mess around with that once I get everything going. I'll just put, like, a 10-gig partition on my hard drive and install that and mess around with it. So that'll be cool.
You can always gen to your system.
Yes, you could. Well, I'm doing two right now. As we speak.
The purpose of the system was for gaming, though.
Right.
Yeah. But Corey, just picture this. I have three monitors all around me, all displaying code that's being compiled exactly for my system.
Pretty crazy.
While doing calc homework. You can't get any geekier than that.
Actually, Friday night,
feel the power.
On Friday night, me and Steve. Yeah. Yesterday night, which Friday the 10th, me and,
like you said.
Me and, yeah. Well, you know, depending on people who are listening to this. Me and my own friend Steve, we were getting really dorky, and there's a grapher built into OS 10, and we were looking at integrals and these, you know, conic things and these 3D graphs and doing math equations. It was extremely geeky, and he pointed it out to me. That only losers would be playing with a math program on a Friday night. I don't know. But speaking of things we're doing, Dale and I went to, along with some other people, other person, we went to the Apple Store opening in Paramus, New Jersey at the Garden State Plaza. And we were, 76 in line, Dale?
Yeah, I was 76, and I was the front of us three.
Yeah, so I was getting exact here, but...
Yeah, and then even at that was 40 minutes early, right?
Yeah, around that. We got there.
Yeah.
It opened up at 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10. And so we waited in line, got our free t-shirts, and then... And I actually bought this Harman Kardon sound sticks, too. For my computer, and then I probably got one of the first purchases there. That's really dorky that I'm actually saying I did that. But then we went back a little later and got a second shirt, so now we have, at least I have, two shirts. They say there's an Apple logo, and it says Garden State Plaza, and on the back it says designed by Apple in California.
Oh, and if you want to get even geekier, we actually went to another Apple store after that, and we still have a guy who handed us our t-shirts because he was a regional manager.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I walk in there, I'm like, that's the guy who handed us a shirt, and he recognized us, too. That's pretty pathetic, if you ask me.
Well, yeah. Talking about Apple stores, isn't there, was it in Manhattan, the 24-hour Apple store that's going to be open?
Yeah, that's the one that's out of the GM building on Fifth Avenue, and supposedly supposed to, it's an underground one. They have like a glass, like, cube coming out to the street, and it's supposedly open until 24 hours, according to Think Secret.
Wow.
That's, you know.
That's cool.
I don't know what kind of people are buying iPods at 3 in the morning, but.
Graveyard shift at the Apple Store.
You know, trust me, I know geeks stay up late.
The day before Valentine's Day, 3 o'clock in the morning. There you go.
Well, that would be Valentine's Day then, wouldn't it?
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
But, and then,
you can always get your girlfriend one of those cheap 1 gig iPod Nanos that are, like, supposedly being released.
Corey, you're not fooling anyone. You don't have a girlfriend. Just joking.
Whatever.
But talking about other Apple Store openings, in Boston, where I'm probably going, it's Northeastern probably, just down the block from there, they're supposedly going to be opening a new Apple Store, a 4-story Apple Store. It's going to be one of the biggest that Apple currently owns. So I'm excited about that. That's like 3 Apple Stores in the Boston, greater Boston area. That's pretty cool. But what else? There's some other things that's been going around lately in the news. One thing that has kind of not shocked me, but, you know, that caught my eye was this Verizon is getting mad at Google for using their, their systems to, run their business. They're complaining that since, Google, they're using their high-speed internet to crawl the web, and Google can do it extremely cheap by, using, cheap servers. Because what Google does is they just buy, cheap regular PCs, and then, they cluster them, and that's what's crawling, the web. And so Verizon doesn't want they're trying to get a bill passed through legislation that would allows them to charge much higher rates for companies that use their high-speed internet access so that, Google can't start making money off of, because Verizon's claiming that they've put all this money into, building the servers and holding the system together, and Google's just using it. But I think that this is kind of not a good thing that the internet will be, less, open if, things are going to, if company wants to search, doesn't want, other companies using the internet, and they start getting a privatized hold on, bandwidth and stuff like that. I don't think it's a good idea.
I think that's BS.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, if Google wants to use Verizon, then they should be able to use Verizon and pay a rate that, every other person pays.
There's also the talk of, people, paying more to go to other sites. Like, the ISPs don't want to use, since, now with higher bandwidth, then they have to pay for these, infrastructures and more, high-speed servers and stuff. They want, people to pay a premium to go to, to Google Video or something that uses a lot more bandwidth and stuff like that. They want, charge less for text things, which is really, threatening to the user, which I think is really, really bad.
That's ridiculous. I think that, you should, when you pay your bill every month, you should get a set amount of services, a set amount of bandwidth, a set amount of whatever that you're aware of. And if you go over that, then you pay your fees or charges and you can upgrade your plan just like anybody else. Shouldn't be any different. They shouldn't charge more for going to a certain website. It should be just overall bandwidth. If you spend all your bandwidth a month downloading Google Videos, then there you go. You shouldn't have to pay more just to go to Google Video or just to go to MSN. I think it's ludicrous.
Dale?
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's just like Verizon to ruin everyone's party. But,
yeah.
Yeah. But speaking of Verizon, though, on another note, didn't they lighten up on their Bluetooth or something like that a little while ago?
I'm not sure. I know last.
I remember hearing something about it that they were lightening up on their usage of it.
Well,
and it was even possible they were going to release more openness for using it to connect to the internet.
Well, this is what I know. Like last Friday, our one friend Tom bought the new LG VX9800, a phone I hate with a passion.
The nasty big brick thing.
Yeah, it's huge. I think a sub sandwich at Subway is smaller than it. but and that's more portable. But we're trying to get it to sync with the Macintosh and through Bluetooth, and you know, Mac normally does pretty well with syncing the phones, and this phone was just, you know, giving a lot of trouble, and he spent hours working on it, and still could not get it to work. I don't know if he got it to work. I think he had to buy a data cable, but today I actually was setting up my mom's Razer phone, and you know, within a few seconds, a few minutes, I had it running and with without any pain or anything. But I think it's also due in part to I've heard Steve Wozniak say a couple of times that the only thing he does with Apple now is just, you know, when he calls Steve Jobs, he just makes sure that make sure that with every update that his Razer still works with iSync and that. So I guess when you have him on your side, you know, it's gonna hold a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Speaking of Apple, has anybody seen the patent that mentions this, a touchscreen iPod? Maybe.
The thing was like touchscreen. I think just media, anything. So it could be laptop, it could be touchscreen. But there are some really cool, people make some, cool 3D, ideas.
Well, that was a cool, a couple pictures where instead of there being a click wheel, the entire device would just be an LCD screen, and when you touch anywhere, you would have the click wheel. It's just a virtual click wheel would pop up, and that would give you more space for playing videos or showing photos, which would be really cool.
Yeah, but
we're looking at thumbprints.
Yeah, there's one thing, with everyone I know who's like a normal consumer, like me, I'm very picky on like anything I buy. I try to, keep any scratches off it, and like, I'm really finicky on like keeping my electronics like up, like I keep them clean and so they run last a long time. A lot of kids I know in high school, they just throw them in the bags, no cases, and have millions of scratches on them, and they break easily. Like a girl in my psychology class showed me her new iPod video, and the screen, the LCD was smashed. It was all, the crystals were broken. It was like, I'm like, what the hell?
Jesus. Even mine's not that bad, and I even tried to keep it.
Yeah, I've had my newest one since October, and there's only one little scratch on it, because I had a break suddenly in my car when I first got it. But other than that,
mine's scratch-free. Woo. Yeah.
But, I have a bunch of scratches on mine, and I threw a silicone case over it, and I'm very mad at myself.
Yeah, but so it's gonna be like, for most people, it's gonna be just a lot more. If they did do it, millions of smudges. That's one thing I deal with, and then scratches galore.
Yeah, and
well, if there was some type of coating that they could put, well, if you could put some type of coating over it that would not disturb the clarity of the screen, but would still keep fingerprints and scratches. But isn't this new 1 gigabyte Nano? Supposedly, it's the updated version of the Nano that has like some special type of addition to it that helps relieve the scratches and stuff.
I have no idea.
I think I read that somewhere.
I read that too. But going back to the screen scratch thing, something that's a good idea if you realize it before you just rip your iPad out of the box, if you go and cut the plastic covering that's on the front off in the middle, so then it just comes out below the screen, you can keep your screen in like perfect condition if you just keep that little plastic on there, and then you can still use your click wheel and everything. I mean, and then all you see is just like a line, and then you won't notice the difference on your screen, and it's protected. That's what I have on mine, so that kept my screen perfect.
Another thing that's coming out that deals with us directly is Skype has a deal with Intel. Just for the Core Duos that will enable people, Core Duo owners such as myself, to be able to have up to 10 people in a conversation and also do video conferencing.
That's really cool, but a question about that. Does that mean that every member of the 10 people have to have the Core Duo or just the host?
I would say just be the host.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, that's what I was guessing. Yeah, which would be great since, Jeff, you have do you have a Core Duo?
Yes,
or is this?
Yes, that's the Intel iMac.
Because you have the new iMac, that's right. Yeah. So that will definitely benefit us.
I also have a monitor for my computer since I have this computer. Normally with the iMac Core Duo, I get the Core Duo with it. Corey.
Corey time. Woo! All
right.
Whatever.
All right. What else do we want to talk about? Corey, did you see this one thing might be... one thing I want to talk about, actually, is I got to play around with Windows Vista on last Friday. Someone had it at my one club I'm president of. We have these gaming nights, like a big LAN party, and someone had it on their computer, and I was playing around with it. And it was impressive when I was sitting on it, but it was impressive for Windows, you know. It was cool because I was using Vista, but it looks pretty cool, some things when I was using it, there wasn't anything that really made me go wow or anything that made me like.
Well, that's because Windows Vista is just OS X. I mean, all the features, they just gave them a different name. It's essentially what OS X already does.
Yeah, it looks like what they for all the time since it's been like 5 years now, I think, since almost 5 years since XP came out. You'd expect that something in development for that long would have a lot more features than just something that looks like a skin. Granted, there's probably a bunch of stuff that's, more than skin deep, the stuff in the kernel and, that stuff. But, I don't know. And the system specs seem really high. And so, we just have to see how it comes out.
It's just, you got a new... Every time that Microsoft releases a new operating system, it's not just, what you would expect. It needs to be a little bit more powerful, a little bit like this. The specs are just a lot more than the one of the last operating system. So you're forced to either have a computer that runs really crappy slow or get a new computer. Like, my family aren't the, not my immediate family, but most of my family aren't as tech savvy as you would expect. So, when you've got this old Windows...
Don't worry, Corey.
No, I just mean, you've got this Windows 98 old box that, they're like, it's running really slow. I upgraded to Windows XP. There's your problem. You're running this Windows 98 box that probably has, 128 megabytes of RAM and a crappy, Pentium 2 processor. It's just going to run dead slow. You can't expect that much when it's Windows XP. Even after you disable a lot of the fancy bells and whistles, it's still going to be decently slow. So...
I actually find it tends to run better with XP because, with my parents' computer, they've got, an older gateway. But they were running Millennium, which is probably one of the worst releases of Windows to ever come out.
Definitely.
And, yeah, so I installed XP on it and helped quite a bit. But
there's a smaller difference between a Windows. There's still a smaller difference between a Windows ME system and a Windows 98 system.
Yeah,
upgrading from 98 to XP and then ME to XP, but
ME is essentially 98 with a few more bugs and.
Was when they released 98, they started talking about this new operating system, which was going to be XP. Oh, it's going to be so great, but then it was so much longer that they just took Windows 98, put a new name on it, and upgraded the security,
and
it
made
crap.
It look a little prettier, and that's about it.
They rushed it out, and so
and
it
I think
was
they
crap.
Added, automatic updates, and I think that was the end of it.
Yeah, I think there was...
Pretty much.
I heard that ME was... Everything that was in it, I think besides from all the internet updates, except, the new icons and, one other little small feature... You could have got Windows 98 and all the internet updates. But, we just averted disaster. I'm out of breath because the thing in the PowerBook came up and it said, you're on reserve battery, and my remaining time gave me 1 minute. So I sprinted downstairs, got the power supply, and came back up and plugged it in, just a few seconds left. That was close. Cause that was,
Wow.
I've heard a disaster. That was a close one to say. One thing I want to plug is what's it called? Nopod.org. It's I'm going to pronounce the name wrong. Jorgen or Vezdel. I'm bad pronouncing European names, but he runs.
Aren't we all?
A blog, but he listens to the podcast. And so I'll probably get flack for saying his name wrong. But he was doing a podcast. They've just had two episodes so far. And you can check it out at nopod.org. And he has his his blog, which is a really good blog, actually. He writes some really good articles. He's a teenager from Norway. And you can check out his blog at J-V-E-L.
Sorry.
Sorry, that was J-V-E-I-S-G-A-L.com. And check it out.
What's this podcast about?
It's a tech podcast.
Just, you know, talking about the latest news stories and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're going to try to get him on the show, actually.
Cool. Yeah.
So, for maybe the next show. So we'll see that.
Okay, I look forward to having him then.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, and another thing to check out is TBF Radio at tbfradio.com. Alex, I think it's pretty pronouncing Kenny, emailed us and complimented us on our show and gave us some comments on his views on G4. But definitely check out his video podcast. It's definitely different. Check it out at tbfradio.com. And thanks, Alex, for sending us the email.
So any other things we want to talk about?
I think that's about it.
All right.
So, Corey.
Oh, also, wait. Well, go ahead.
Oh, how's your mom doing, Corey? Since we talked to her last.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, when we called her last week. Or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Right, what were you saying? What were you saying, Corey? Back to more important matters.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to make fun of Corey. I needed to.
Shut up.
It was necessary.
Shut up, Dale.
Okay.
Fine. Xbox 360 shortage is no more.
Oh, yeah, I heard
official statement from Peter Moore, quote, within the next 4 to 6 weeks, anybody will be able to walk into a store and buy an Xbox 360. Woohoo!
That's another thing.
Not that I really want one anyway.
I saw 360. There was three 360s at my gaming night, and I saw one playing Fight Night. And I must say, before I was looking at the screen, and I thought that the video that was on the screen was the intro video, but it was the actual game. Mm-hmm. The gameplay was out of this world. It is amazing. And that was on a little VGA projector, and that's amazing.
Well, I believe that speaking of the Xbox 360, I think it was ATI or NVIDIA or one of the graphic card makers claiming to make a graphics card that was Xbox 360 quality or better.
Hmm.
So. Well, that'll be cool.
Yeah, definitely. So I think.
But the problem with the. But,
No, go on.
Last statement.
Go on.
The problem with the Xbox 360 is in order to get the full quality of it, you have to have an HD TV. So. Yeah.
Hmm. All right, well, I think with that, we made it under half an hour. I think we should end it here. You agree?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Okay. Bye. Corey, I really like the singing. It's, or the homing, or the beeping, or whatever you call that. It's very, very sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah. Not really.
Screw you, then.
Okay. Sweet.
Whoa, that's not what the reply I actually...
All right, I'm ending this conversation.